Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, I lift those up that I've just mentioned by name, Father, and special needs that each of them have. Father, there's others in our church family that are needing help in many different ways. Father, we praise your name for jobs that have been found. We praise your name for the answer to prayer in many cases in our lives. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to be with us. I thank you for today and the joy of seeing new faces that came and a part of it, Father, in a time of fellowship that we can come together knowing that someday we're all going to be together in heaven celebrating a wedding feast that's going to be like no other because the fact is, your son is going to be the head of the table, Father, and we thank you for that. But let us realize that we're living on this side, that everything that we do, all of our worship, all of our lives as Christians, all that we do, live, and say needs to revolve around the very fact that you are what it's all about, Father. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we come to this verse and it talks about go eat bread with joy and the fact of a merry heart, that we think about those things that God is saying to us. As Solomon's writing this, that we realize that we can have a merry heart. And you know, I know that Elaine has already opened the door with Tripp's talk today, but you know, it really means something. Like you said, you all know how much you love your kids and your grandkids. Now, in our world today, that's not necessarily the case in all the world. I understand that. But you know that you would do anything you could for your children. When I read those passages like this morning, that God is faithful. Well, we're faithful with what we have, and we're limited. We're sinners, and we're limited. God is not limited. God is faithful to take care of us. And that's really what I think he's saying here in this passage, that we need to have joy. We need to realize, we were talking earlier, you know, God knows what's going on. Sometimes I know, I got to say, God, do you see me? I'm down here in bells. God, do you see me? But I ought to have more sense than that. Because he knows what's going on. He knows before it happens. He knows after it happens. He knows what's going on. He knows that we need certain things. You know, I got frustrated this week, or I think it was this week. Sometime I saw in one of the things I was reading on there that there's a church. Now, this is where your preacher's flesh comes out, okay? But there was a church that got a year-end donation of $21.6 million. And they're talking about how much, because they give 13% of that to the cooperative program, and how much that's going to be that they're going to give to the cooperative program. I thought, 21.6, could you imagine what we could build? Now, maybe I'm we could think, you know, could they just send us about the 0.6 down here? We could do a lot with $600,000. You know? And they're worrying about what to do and what it's going to do to their... Hey, we got a need. Just come down here and watch these kids go through the line and things. But, you know, God's got a plan for that to take place, and I know it, and he's preparing the fields for it. And we may or may not see it, but I just know that God is... And I think that's what Solomon is saying here, that we eat the bread with joy. You know, the camel people were talking about that even though we're feeding them before church, the camel kids still want their snacks as they're going out the door. See, they're going to be good Baptists. We may not teach doctrine like it ought to be, but we're going to teach them if you're Baptist, you eat. Okay? But we're going to do it with joy every moment of it. You know, when I was down there with them, I had the problem because I want every kid to get the same thing because I know what happens. Somebody, I don't like that kind. My rules are, you get it, you take it. You know, but everybody was switching around. So, but the fact is, I think that's what he's saying here, that we realize, and part of that is that for God has already accepted your work. God knows what we need to do. God is preparing the fields for what he wants us to do. And so he knows our works. And I you know, that's just, again, my view of God's sovereign will and what he is and that about it. You know, let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. The fact that our life needs to show forth. Kind of like what we talked about this morning, that if we're Christians, we need to be holy. Our life should be white garments. They should know that that's who we are when we go out. And so he knows what we're going to do, and that's amazing to me. And, of course, the anointing your head not lack oil. That was a sign of the fact of that area and things. So that we constantly show up forth the joy of the Lord in all that we do, whether it's singing a song or working out. And I think that's key for us to think through. As we look at the next section of verses 9 through 12, it says, live joyfully with your wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your problem, your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know that this time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. You know, live joyfully with the wife whom you've had all the days. That we realize the importance of that. I was sharing this afternoon the fact right now is it seems like everybody's wanting to get married in March this year. I don't know what it is, but there's a ton of weddings. I know that on the 9th, that there's about 5 people from Bells, Texas that's getting married on March the 9th and things. You know, and then we've got several more going on, with a couple at the end of the month and things, but that we live joyfully with our wife. Again, the key fact that we understand the importance of that and the fact that, you know, the life is vanity, the fact of what's going on, that we see that. But our portion in this life and the labor which we perform under the sun, the things that we do, whatever our hands find to do it with all your might. That we, you know, if God's called you to pray, I thought was I was reading this of what JT told me this week. You know, as he sits there and things, and I know that he got outside Friday. I'm just telling you. I mean, they were having a debate. And it was a nice debate, but he was in his PJs, okay? And he said, I really need to go to my shop. 100 years old, and he needs to go to the shop. Now, I don't know how big the shop is. I know it's got to be out back and things. And Thelma says, well, you don't need to go in your PJs. They're too thin. Well, I know when he got his bath and he got his clothes on, I know where he went, okay? Well, it might have been an argument, but he got there and things. But he's going to do the things that he's done all of his life. And I think that's so important in our life. But we need to realize that whatever our hands find to do, do it with all your might. That we put forth a good effort. That we do the things that God wants us to do and see that take place. That, you know, there's no work in the grave. That he's called us to work at those things he's called us to do. You know, that all of the things of this world are going to go away. But the fact is that we're to do what he's called us to do. The importance of it. You know, I truly believe that churches today was a lot like what I said this morning, that we need to really be doing what God called us to do, of reaching the communities he's placed us in. And I believe that every single Christian, and we talked this morning about being called saints, I believe that every Christian is called to spread the gospel message. This morning in my quiet time, it was both those that's on my phone and my apps. All of that I read this morning in the other books that I read was talking about that we're called to be witnesses for Christ. We're called to share the gospel message. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're at, we're called to do that. And I believe that everybody that's under the sound of my voice is called to witness for Jesus Christ. We've got an example with JT. We've got an example with what you're doing. And you know, and part of that may be that maybe you don't see people but every once in a while. But I can promise you if it's going to the nursing home, if it's going to somewhere else, or the post office, wherever it might be, God has got something for you to do. And so we need to find what we're supposed to do and then do it with all of our might and do the best job that we possibly can. Now, and work at doing that. You know, and then it says there in verse 11 that he returned and saw what was under the sun, and he talks about that the race is not for the swift. And excuse me. But the fact is that our... You know, that we realize that it's for the spiritual, that the fact is that we're going to be doing what God called us to do. And I see that as we move forward in the last part of these verses in just a few moments. But again, that the by time and chance happens is to all of them, that we see this. Now, just a little illustration, that it's not for the swift. There's the people that we based this morning's outfits on, the duck commando, Si says that, remember the hare and the turtle, and how the slow one wins the race. So, you know, I think that's the thing. The fact is that we've got to realize that we serve a God that's going to get us through these things if we'll give it to Him. Again, picking on myself, I have a tendency to want to do it on my own power, and I can't fix all the stuff that needs to be. Only God can. But we've got to realize that. And He talks there about by time and chance happened to them all. You know, I don't really go with the time and chance thing as much as I believe God's got a plan. And I think that it's in His timing. I know that we talk a lot about that, but the fact that we see that playing out in our lives, that things happen according to God's plan and the importance of it. You know, I see this week on Wednesday when the Boy Scouts met and they decided to put that off, I see God's timing in that and things. If we will pray and seek Him, that's taking place. And He talks about there in verse 12 the fact of like a fish in a cruel net, that things just happen. You know, good things happen to bad people. We've got to understand that. There's sin of this world. We're living in a fallen world. Things are going to happen at different times, but we don't need to dwell on them all the time. That, you know, we get snared in the evil time. That's going to take place, but we need to continue to do what God wants us to do in all that we can and for Him. In the last section of verses in 13 through 18, it says, "This is wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There is a little cry with few men in it. A great king came..." There is a little city with a few men in it. "And a great king came against it and besieged it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, 'Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. His words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than a shout of the ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good.'" You know, the wisdom that he's seen under the sun, and it seemed great to him. The fact of, again, I think we need to realize that this is the wisdom. God's Word is the wisdom that will get us through life. And we've got to keep preaching it and teaching it, and everything that we do is to stress the importance of this wisdom. The world says that it's not wisdom, but we know that it is through Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians, and the knowledge that we have of understanding that this is what he's talking about. And he uses the illustration there of a great king coming against a city, and I'm talking about that. If Solomon's the writer of this, I'm not real sure who he's using in that illustration because of the time period of when Solomon would have lived. I don't necessarily believe that it was against the nation of Israel and things, but just an illustration of what's going on. I think as we look at 16 through 18, that wisdom is better than weapons of war. Again, that we truly realize that God's Word is what needs to be spoken by us and things. You know, Elaine shared with us how the kids have needs too, but they go to God's Word. And that we need to really be stressing for them to pray and to see us doing that. I think that's key when we talk about that. I've got a quote that I've shared with nearly every one of the couples so far. Some of them are not in the same space yet, but there's one that I'll share with all of them by the time we finish, and it's by Billy Graham that says that in marriages where the family has family devotion or keeps God in the center of it, that the divorce rate is 1 in 500. In our world today, the divorce rate is 50-50, in church and outside of church. But that if we will keep God at the center of it, things work out. And so we've got to realize that the wisdom comes from God and understand that. But how he says there, "But one sinner destroys much good." That again, we think about that the wisdom of God is better than the weapons of war. You know, I keep talking about the gun debate, and I struggle with that and different things about it. But the greatest weapon we have is the Word of God. It's what's going to change lives. It's what's going to make the things right. If we want America to be great again, we've got to go back to God's Word. We've got to go back to teaching this and letting it be the thing that we talk about and that we educate our children with and that we teach them with. You know, I just don't understand why the oldest book that's written, one of the best pieces of literature that's ever been written, is not allowed in our schools. We'll read everything else and promote everything else, but we won't let this be read. The reason is because Satan knows when this is read, hearts get changed. We're in a spiritual battle. Solomon knew it, and we need to know it. And we need to understand that until the church and God's people start standing up and doing with all of our might what God wants us to do, what would one town do if they fully sold out to the Word of God? What would one church do that was fully sold out to the Word of God? We would reach the world. Revival has broken out over and over when the church has turned back to God. You know, isn't it a shame that, and I may have this date a little wrong, but I think since the 1700s, there's not been a major awakening in our country, in our world, like there was prior to this with those people that had those and things. So I think that it's something we need to really think about as we come to this passage and realize that God's wisdom is what we need to be seeking and following in the fact of doing what He's called us to do and being holy people and the fact of that taking place. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before You tonight, Father. I pray that as we've thought about this and we think through these things, Father, that we realize that it's all about You, that only true wisdom comes from You, Father. And Father, I pray that we would be a church that is a school for sinners, Father, a place where those that need to know You come, Father, a place for those of us that know You come and get filled back up, Father, that we worship You and that we know that You're a faithful God, a holy God, and a righteous God, a God that loved us enough to give Your only begotten Son. And by that, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that You know what's going on in our lives because we're Your children, Father. Just as most of us know what our kids do and try our best to be there, the difference in that is, God, You know it all. You know before we're going to do it what it is, Father, because You're a faithful God, a God that loved mankind so much that You sent Your only begotten Son. That You loved us enough to allow Him to leave heaven, to come to earth, to walk for 33 years in this sin-infested world, and then to be placed on a cross between heaven and earth because You required a sin sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, and He was the only one that could meet that. And He did it so that each of us in this room that calls Him Savior could be saved. You did it through Him, Father, that all that would come, all that might come, would be saved. And so, Father, I pray today. I pray today, Father, that You would lead, guide, and direct us. Father, lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.